Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, back again with another Do the Work snippet. So again, we do this presentation at Dropship Breakthrough Live, had 22 things that we wanted people to do the work. If you implement these in your business, you're going to have a better business. And one of the slides that I built out had to do with having more emails. So I noticed when I get into a lot of people's businesses, I think you found this too, when we pulled in some businesses to use on stage, there's no emails behind these pop-ups. I've certainly been a victim of this in the beginning, like abandoned carts. You write the one, maybe you write two, and then you wonder why no one is purchasing after abandoning their cart. But I just noticed most people aren't building out emails, and it seems like such an easy win.
Yeah, and it's once again, I mean, we've done a few episodes lately where we talked about parts of the customer journey, right, and in ways that you can delight your customer and touch points you can have. And I think, you know, it takes a certain number of touch points with your business before somebody buys from you, right? I don't know, I think the average in e-commerce is like 7. In some businesses, it's
I've heard it's like 27.
Yeah, in some, it's much more than that, I think. But the point is, like, the more touch points a customer can have with your business, assuming they're quality, good touch points, the more likely they are to buy from you. And email is kind of like a no-brainer for this, right? I mean, it's incredibly cheap. You know, like, I mean, you're going to subscribe to an email automation service to do it, which is probably going to cost you like $40 a month or something like this. And you can literally send as many emails as you want. A lot of them can be automated. I mean, you shouldn't just send automated ones, but 80% of it can be automated, right? Like, those emails just fire off automatically based on things that your customers are doing on your site or length of time or whatever. And so, to me, it's just another one of those. And as we've said, like, so many businesses are not doing this well. And I get it takes a little bit to set it up, right? Particularly if you're somebody who is not into writing, like, that's not your forte, written communication. For a lot of people, it's not. I think it's kind of one of those things that people just kind of push to the side and be like, oh, I'm going to focus on my ads more. I'm going to get stuck staring at my ad account, or I know I need to do SEO, so I'm going to do a lot of that. And email just kind of, I think I was actually surprised. If I'm honest, I was surprised. I did sign up for a lot of people's email list who were at our live event, and either saw really low quality emails that didn't really add to the customer journey, or just got none at all. Even for like pop-ups, like where there was a discount offered, just didn't get an email in response, which, yeah, you know, it could be spam filters or something like that. Sure, that happens sometimes, but yeah, there's a massive opportunity here. There's a massive opportunity. And luckily these days, you know, writing emails can be, you can speed that process up a lot with the help of some of the tools that are out there now.
Yeah, so we teach a lot of SEO. It's going to be a huge growth channel for you. And everyone's like, oh, I'm just going to use ChatGPT to write my emails. If you don't know what ChatGPT is, it's chat.openai.com. It's free, or pay $20 and get the better version of it. It's $20 a month. It's well worth it, in my opinion. It's gotten a little dumber lately, and it's a little woke, I guess. Like, you can ask it to rewrite something in Donald Trump's voice and it'll say no. Then you can ask it to rewrite it in Joe Biden's voice and it'll be like, happily, here's what it sounds like if you have dementia. Is that a good one? That's not a good one. All right.
It's all right.
Hopefully somebody laughed at home. But you can use ChatGPT for writing these emails and not have to worry about, you know, bothering Papa G. And I actually think it's pretty fucking good. And so, like, I would challenge you to start with the easiest one, your abandoned cart flow. Like, if you went and I kind of wish I could share my screen, and maybe we'll do this as a training somewhere for free. Go to ChatGPT and say, I own an e-commerce store selling air purifiers. I want to write an abandoned cart flow, and I'd like it to be 6 emails long. Write me 6 emails. It's going to write out 6 emails. Now, I don't think you should take those 6 emails and put them in your autoresponder. Though, if you just did that, you're probably doing better than most people.
That's right.
What I'd like you to do from there is take a part of an email or even the whole email and say, hey, this first email looks great, but What you don't know is that I serve an elderly demographic. They have these concerns. Can you rewrite the email knowing that they have these concerns? And it will rewrite it for you. Then, if you don't like that, which you're probably going to like that one even better than the one they wrote, you can say, you can think of somebody who's in the industry or someone. I think when I did this with somebody serving old people, we said, rewrite this in the voice of Regis Philbin, somebody that you know, people in the older demographic would know who it is. If I'm doing younger folks, I'll often use Sean Puri or Gary Vee or Tom Bilyeu, someone who can tell a story better than your boy can tell a story here. Fun fact, my business partner, Leanna Patch, works on here too. So you could, if you want it to be a little more funny, say, hey, can you rewrite this in the tone of Leanna Patch? You can have this rewritten over and over again. I think what some people do is they go to ChatGPT, have it written, and put it in there, which is fine. That's baseline. If you just do that, you're ahead of most people. But if you can take time to have it rewrite it in the tone of your customer, which it's pretty good at doing, it's going to be even better. And you can have this done today. I think that's what people don't realize is like, it seems like a daunting task. But I think in the next 30 minutes, you can have your entire abandoned cart flow done well, and into Klaviyo and not have to think about this ever again.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I'd say is you do need to fact check it as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Because ChatGPT is as by their own disclaimer, is not, you know, factually verified information.
It's so good at guessing words.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've got more technical products or products that, you know, people have to use in a particular way to avoid hurting themselves, essentially, and you provide something, information that is incorrect that causes them to do that, then you're going to be potentially in some hot water. So always fact check what AI spits out for you. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, you, even with the basic thing, like, you're going to be way ahead of what a lot of people in the high ticket dropshipping space are doing. And that process you walk through with, like, improving a copy, absolutely do that. And then the last thing I would probably add onto that is, like, add in, which I don't think ChatGPT quite gets. I mean, the thing where you rewrite it like you're this person or in the voice of this person, I think that's good. But still, if you know, particularly if you're in your own market and you know that there are specific words that people in your market use, or it, you know, in my case, where in another episode, we were talking about the voicemails I record and things like that, where I speak like my customer and I use a lot of slang and things like that. Your email should always be like email is a personal communication platform, right? So your emails should read like you're having a conversation with your ideal customer. So as much as possible, you want to layer in a bit of the terminology that they use, the slang, if there's slang or, you know, colloquialisms in your particular market that apply to your ideal customer. You might want to put some of that in at the end. And, you know, don't feel like when you write emails, they have to be really formal, like really stilted and like professional writing. That's not short sentences. You know, just keep it nice and punchy, get to the point, you know, have a bit of a laugh. There's nothing wrong with that.
Delight them.
Like, make it a little bit entertaining. I mean, if you think about it, people going about their day to day, anytime you can give them a little chuckle or just do something that stands out in their mind, like, you know, recent Do the Work, we talked about calling customers after they purchase and how rare that is and how it sticks out in the mind. Like, once again, I think you shared a story actually about some with me the other night about some emails that Liana had written for you and the customer who, even though they weren't really a customer of yours anymore, they're still reading those emails because she just enjoys reading those emails.
Yep. Their pet had died, which happens a lot, unfortunately, in my industry, but this person was comforted by Leanna still making her laugh every time. So Paramount Pet Health is a good example. Leanna's delighting you with all of the emails, and we're not always writing to sell you. We're writing to serve you. Same with her own. If you go to punchlinecopy.com and sign up for hers, you're probably going to laugh every time she sends out an email. I think you can do most of this with ChatGPT, honestly. Like, if you can input the words for my presentation, I had to mention some words and say, who in this room knows what these words mean? And I pulled them by saying, what are some slang terms in this industry? And it was able to pull those. Obviously, you're going to know them more. But look, I think you can do all of this stuff. So I'm using ChatGPT to help me with this. Can you write your welcome series? So yeah. I think you signed up for a lot of pop-ups. A lot of people are like, you know, sign up today and save 5% on your order or whatever your pop-up is that is on the main part of your site. How many emails are behind there? When you did them for our students, I don't think we found very many, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But you can have ChatGPT help you with what you're trying to get across there. Help people
work through the beginning part of their journey. If you're selling fitness equipment, they probably have some concerns and objections, or a before state, some feelings they have before they're purchasing. How can you work them through that and then send them to the right place on your site? And can you have ChatGPT help you write more than one email there that just says, your 5% discount is expiring, come back and shop today, which is what most people put. Abandoned cart flow, we mentioned. Post-purchase follow-up can really help you with this. Again, thank them, ask for reviews, offer usage tips, and encourage repeat business. You can be a little more thoughtful than what ChatGPT is saying here, but you can have help with that. If you don't have a browse abandonment flow, which is a little creepy if I'm honest with you, you can have help writing that. Re-engagement, upsell, cross-sell. Another one I see people not spending any time on really is rewriting their stock Shopify emails. Mm-hmm. So this takes a little bit of coding and you might need some help. But if you can put a little personality into the order confirmation, into the shipment emails, into every little touch point in your business and make someone smile or chuckle or feel good when they're interacting with you, it's going to be worth your time. And so, again, you can have this done by the end of the day. Another one you had mentioned in a previous episode is if you're using judge.me or reviews.io or stamp.io, you're likely just sending out what it says inside of there. Mm-hmm. And so, again, can you go in there and punch those up? Can you make them a little spunkier or make them laugh or make them smile in every little touch point that you have? So I think you can write a ton of these emails. At minimum, I would challenge anyone listening to this, go write your abandoned cart flow today. Yeah. Like today.
Yeah. Great place to start. The other thing, a couple of things I would say as well. Like I see a lot of people when they do emails, they constantly go straight to selling in every single email. Like the email is just like, here's a little bit of information and then a list of recommended products for you. Every single email. And I think if you want, so there's a couple of things you have to do, be mindful of when you're emailing people is your open rate, your click-through rate, and people marking you as spam. So if you send people the same thing in every single email, that is the absolute quickest way that they'll switch off from your emails. And once you start ending up in the spam folder or your, which can happen if your open rate goes too low or just because people put you in the spam folder, that's going to get applied across Gmail automatically to other people who haven't even taken that action. And so you have to be really mindful of that. You don't have to sell in every single email. It's okay to just provide some information. It's okay just to give people something entertaining. And so absolutely, Ben said, get your abandoned cart set up, abandoned checkout set up, that flow, do that. That is the first thing. Something else I want you to do, if we're talking about doing the work and doing it consistently, I want you to get in the consistent habit of sending one email a week to your list that is not an automated email. Right. So this is kind of like a catch-all practice to have. When you get into the space of having more and more content, you do your SEO and all of this sort of thing, this gets easier to do. But the worst thing that can happen when somebody enters your email list one way or the other is they never hear from you again. Right. And then one day you decide, oh, I'd like to send an email to everybody on my list and they haven't heard from you in 3 months, and you send them an email and they've forgotten who you are. They're going to unsubscribe. They're going to add you to spam and whatever. So you have to keep your email list, and it doesn't matter how big it is. This is the other thing I hear people say, I've only got 50 people on my list. I'm not going to send them any emails. I'm not going to send emails until I've got thousands of people on my list. That's when I'm going to do it regularly. And that's, once again, a really bad choice, because this is a consistent practice that you need to practice to be in the habit of being in. So just one email a week. Send it. And it doesn't have to be, once again, here's some products I want you to buy, or here's a particular action I want you to take on my website. It doesn't have to be come and read my blog post if you don't have anything new to share there. You could literally just go onto YouTube, find a video that's somebody else's video that's extremely helpful to people in your niche, that helps, you know, it talks about a common problem that people have, or a solution, or whatever it might be. It could be your example of the YouTube channel where dudes just play golf, right? And if you serve golfing people, right, you can just send them, say, hey, I was just on YouTube the other day and I came across this video. I really loved it. It answered this question for me and I thought you might enjoy it too. Sincerely, whatever your sign off is. You're entertaining people. You're providing helpful content. And even though you're not even sending them to your website, you still stick in their mind and your emails stick in their mind as somebody who is doing those things for them, is entertaining them, is providing them with helpful content, is paying attention to their needs. And once again, next time you send them an email that's like, oh, hey, I thought you we've got this new product on our site. I think it'll help solve this problem. Do you want to buy it? They're going to be more predisposed to actually opening that and listening to it, listening to what you've got to say.
I'm going to read one here that we sent out for our pets business because I think it'll teach you that we're just trying to serve. There's no sales in this email. So the subject line is Grandma had it right. And here's the email. My grandma used to visit us every summer for 6 weeks. As long as she was there, her all beige wardrobe neatly laid out in the guest room adjoining my childhood bedroom, a few things were guaranteed to happen. One, we would enjoy a nightly fresh fruit salad served individually in lovely little blue and white bowls. Grandma always left bananas out of hers. Lights you'd purposely left on would mysteriously be turned off to save electricity. And a pair of yellow rubber Playtex gloves took up permanent residence by the sink. I want to talk about those gloves for a second, because they didn't just protect my grandma's hands, not to mention her sapphire ring, which I absolutely coveted in the only way that a kid can. Sparkly. Those same rubber gloves are also amazing at picking up pet hair. Yes, I know it sounds insane, but it works. Just rub your dry glove on any upholstered furniture to create static that loosens and gathers fur. Or wet the glove first for heavy-duty fur annihilation. You can even store your gloves under a couch cushion and pull them out whenever things start getting hairy. You'll save roughly $100 million on lint roller sheets, and it's so satisfying. Followed by a picture of someone in a yellow glove on a piece of upholstery with the caption that says, "Image lovingly stolen from Dan Avery at CNET because the gloves I use are actually teal. Don't tell my grandma. Just kidding. She died in 2016. Thanks, Leanna." Like, that's the email. I guarantee you're laughing at the end of that when she mentions her grandma's dead. And like, we're just being helpful. We're just showing you a way which to get cat hair off your upholstery, which if you have any pet whatsoever, you have this as a problem. And so that's delight. That's just simply delighting somebody. And to your point, John, you can write emails like this and then go back and add them to your welcome flow. So that as you add one week after week after week after week, now when someone signs up for your welcome flow, they work through a few things that work through their journey, and then they're delighted day after day after day after day. So I know you and I write some things for Dropship Breakthrough that we sent out as a blast, and now they're just part of a sequence that people get when they sign up.
Yeah, literally that's how. So like if you go and sign up for one of our free trainings on our website, for example, you're going to then get probably around 60 days worth of emails, like one each day. And almost all of those emails, I did not sit down and write 60 emails and build that sequence of emails in one sitting.
And then turn it on.
Yeah. And then turn it on. That's not what happened. Like every time we have like if you're on our email list, you'll see that I'll send you an email saying, "Hey, we just recorded this new podcast about this particular thing. You should go and give it a listen." End of email, no sales, right? I'll then grab that email and tack it on to the end of the flow because it's just an email that talks about something specific to the high ticket dropshipping journey. And I know most people will be like, "Well, yeah, that's an interesting topic. I'll go and listen to that." And it keeps people engaged with our message. And sooner or later, yeah, sure, those people who get that email, a portion of them are going to join our program. But that email in and of itself is not going to be the thing that does it. And so over time, you just build up that thing. And it goes back to this being a consistent practice. Like you don't have to set up all of your email in one go. You know, you've just got to keep working away at it. If you work away at it for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, you're going to have an amazing email marketing system that does generate sales.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts
to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.